Scripture says that Jesus is God's indescribable gift. And even though God's gift in Christ is indescribable, we're going to try this morning. We're going to try as best we can.
Proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Saw an interesting article in the news this week about a car dealer in Rochelle, Illinois. He had a pretty interesting offer. I don't know, maybe some of you saw this. As you know, later tonight, the Chicago Bears will be facing the Green Bay Packers up in Lambeau Field. And if we have any Bears fans here, and I know we do, I know we're not really looking forward to that game. Packer fans, we don't want to hear it, okay? But anyway, a car dealer in Rochelle had an idea. He has made this offer that last week, you know, it was a few, when this story came out a few days ago until I think sometime yesterday, that anyone who bought a new car from him, that if the Bears shut out the Packers, the car was free. Pretty good deal, don't you think? So now, I don't know how likely that is that the Bears are going to win the game, let alone shut them out. But I tell you what, if you're in the market for a new car, if you were going to, I wouldn't go out there and buy a new car just hoping, you know, with your fingers crossed. But if you're in the market, boy, that's a pretty good marketing strategy, don't you think, to get people to come and buy your new car from him. Well, that sounds like a great gift and a pretty good deal. But we want to talk today and reflect today on a much, much better gift than a new car. Scripture says that Jesus is God's indescribable gift, his indescribable gift. And even though God's gift in Christ is indescribable, we're going to try this morning. We're going to try as best we can. Now, underneath the Christmas tree here are some of the gifts that we have in Christ. And these are God's gifts to you, and they are received by faith in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our scripture passage this morning is from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. And here the Apostle Paul is encouraging the Corinthians to remember that whoever gives little receives little, and whoever gives much receives much, and that God loves a cheerful giver, and that he is able to make all grace abound to you so that you will have whatever it is that you need. And Paul then commends them for their giving, that they had been generous in giving to other believers, to some poor believers in the church in Jerusalem. And Paul said, as they gave generously to others in the name of Christ, that God is honored, that God is glorified through that. And all of this talk of generous giving leads Paul to think of the greatest example ever of generous giving, God's indescribable gift to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 15. Verses 12 through 15. Paul says, this service that you perform, that is their generous giving, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. And because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now, I'm going to need some volunteers here this morning. Now, you thought you were going to come here and just sit back and listen. Let somebody else do all the driving here. Well, that's not going to happen. We're going to have some of you participating in the sermon here this morning. We need some volunteers to come up and help to unwrap some of these gifts from God. And I'm thinking of some younger volunteers. I see lots of young folk, you know, here in this church. But I'm thinking really young folks, like, oh, for example, Hunter and Isabel there. So we're going to have them come up and maybe some others open these gifts from God for us. So let's see. Why don't we have Hunter, why don't you come up? Isabel, you can sit down for just a minute. And Hunter's going to open our first one here. Probably easier to have a chair to sit on when we open. So let's put this chair right here. And Hunter, you're going to open this one right here for us, okay? So why don't you have a seat and open that up for us? And Mom, don't pay too much attention to what's in this thing, okay? So some of you are going to figure out in a minute what I'm referring to. Don't be shy. There you go. By the way, I forgot a garbage bag up here. Oh, well, we're just going to leave them here. So Hunter will clean it up. That's right. Okay. Well, we have a beautiful box, everyone. Isn't that nice? A beautiful box. Now, what do we have here? A half-eaten sandwich. You're on the right track, but no. Okay. What do we have here? Ah, there we go. A nice big chocolate bar, but then there's something else. What does that say, Hunter?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Okay, let's take this one right here. Now you can go on. Go ahead. You can keep that. Go on back. Have a seat there. Forgiveness. That is the first one. There we go. That is the first of God's gifts to us, forgiveness. Forgiveness for everything. Everything wrong that you have ever thought, that you have ever said, that you have ever done. Even forgiveness for things that you don't even know that you thought or said or did. Forgiveness for who we are by nature, born in sin, born in being morally wrong and in rebellion against God. God says when we put our trust in Christ that everything that we have ever done wrong, all of our sin, that he will take them and he will cast them into a sea of forgetfulness, that he will remove our sin from us as far as what? The east is from the west. That's pretty far, isn't it? So God no longer holds our sins against us. All the charges against you are dropped. And all of my guilt, all of yours, is transferred to Christ. We're declared justified, right with him. So it's not only a forgiveness, but it's even a removal of guilt. You ever struggled with something feeling really guilty, like, oh, I really wish I hadn't done that, I really wish I hadn't said that, and it just eats away at you? It says in Christ, even guilt has been removed, forgiven for the sin, and even the guilt of it is removed from us. A removal of guilt, removal of condemnation, removal of separation from God, and all of this received by faith in the completed work of Christ for us on the cross. And this means, we talked a little bit about it last night, this means that you and I, by faith, are accepted, completely accepted by God in Christ. God's not mad at you. He's not mad at you. He loves you. He's forgiven you through faith in Jesus. And that is our greatest need, isn't it? Is forgiveness. Chuck Swindoll, in his book, The Grace Awakening, he wrote this. He said, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. And so God sent us a Savior. Forgiveness, this is the first of God's indescribable gifts to us in Christ. Let's look at the second one. Where's Isabel? Isabel, you can come on up. We have one for you to open. Like I said, do not be shy. You can tear right into this thing. There you go. I'm sensing a theme here. There's another giant chocolate bar. But what else? What does that say, Isabel?
Adoption.
Okay, thank you. You can go sit down. Thank you. adoption. Adoption through faith in Christ. God has adopted you. I think we have our next opener right there. He's getting a little eager. A chocolate, I know. Through faith in Christ, God has adopted you and me into His family. We become His children, His spiritual sons and daughters. Just like that little baby there was born into that family, we are born into God's family. We become His sons and daughters. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says this to believers. He says, "For you, a believer in Jesus, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, of being a child of God. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father." Abba is a term of intimacy with God. Daddy, we might translate that. Paul says, "The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory." So we become the recipients of the compassion and the care of a Heavenly Father. And as His adopted children, we become heirs. That is, we will receive an eternal inheritance of blessing. As His children, the Heavenly Father provides, He instructs, He protects, He corrects. And we have access always to Him, to our Heavenly Father. And we may come, how, into His presence? Boldly, right? Boldly. We can come boldly into His presence at any time. You know, when John F. Kennedy was president of the United States, there was a picture of him in Life magazine. It was a photo of his children, Caroline and John Jr., playing with their toys on the floor of the Oval Office. And those images captured the hearts of the American people like nothing before. Why? Why did it so capture people seeing that image? Well, I think it's because it bridged a gap between these two thoughts, that here is Kennedy, the president of the United States, the most powerful man in the world, but he was also a father to these young children. He held ultimate political power in the free world, but playing at his feet were two little kids who called him Daddy. Now, I don't think your kids would be allowed to do that, but his were. Why? Because he was their father. He was not only president of the United States, he was also their dad. And in the same way, God is both our Father and He is the president of the universe, the Lord of glory. And so we can approach Him confidently in prayer because we are His dearly beloved children. So God has given us forgiveness and He has adopted us as His children. I need another volunteer. We need another. There's one. Come on up. There's another one. Here we go. Have a seat right here. Open that up for us. Now that's bold. Did you see that? Rip that right up there. I like that. Good. Well, looks like the theme continues. What do you know? A giant chocolate bar. You know why there's a giant chocolate bar, right, here? We don't want one to get one and the other doesn't, right? So there's a giant chocolate bar, but it says something else here. What else do we have? What does that say?
Holiness.
Holiness. Very good. Good job. You can go sit down. Thank you. Holiness. Holiness. Perfect moral righteousness and goodness. And that's received by faith as a gift of God the moment that we believe. It is God's very own moral perfection, righteousness. You know, when we have forgiveness, we can be forgiven for our sins, but we might still sin again, might we? But part of God's amazing gift is not only do we have forgiveness for sins, but he gives holiness as well so that we'll never sin again. Now, wait a minute. You say, I've received that forgiveness, but I still sin. Yes, that's God's gift to you that you possess now. We don't possess it fully in right now, only in part. But one day, what, when we are in his presence, then we will be in reality holy as we are now by our position in Christ, by faith. And so not only are we forgiven, we're actually given the holiness of Christ himself, perfect righteousness, to think, to speak, to act as Jesus is in his holiness and perfection. You know, I told you this story before. It was a powerful story I heard. It was about Joni Erickson Tada. Yeah, met Johnny. Many of you know her, that she was paralyzed at a young age. And so for years then, but she's been ministering the gospel and proclaiming the good news and has this wonderful ministry, but she's a quadriplegic. And so oftentimes she said, told the story, people will come up to her and they will say, you know, Johnny, isn't that wonderful that the day is going to come when you're going to be freed from that wheelchair and you're going to have a glorious, brand new resurrection body, no longer limited the way you are by that now. You know what she said? She says, you know, yes, of course. She is eager looking forward to that. But she said, you know what I'm looking forward to more than that even? Is being holy as he is holy. What a gift that is. Forgiveness, adoption, and holiness. We need another volunteer. Let's see, do we have another young volunteer here? Okay, Hunter, we'll recycle him. Come on up here. There you go. Bunch of carrots this time, that's right. What do you know? It's another candy bar. Don't worry, Mom. We'll give that one away. Right, Hunter? Okay. And this one, what does that say?
Eternal life.
Eternal life. Very good. Thank you. I'll take that. You can go sit down. Eternal life. Anybody just blown away by that? You think about that? Eternal life. You know, oftentimes we'll talk about eternal life, but it's, you know what it is? It's eternal life. Eternal life is not simply a never-ending duration of existence. It is a never-ending quality of life. A state of unimaginable blessing that will continue forever and ever and ever. Eternal life. One of the best known scripture verses, I love this one, John 11:25-26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the what? The life. And he who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Was Jesus confused? Was he contradicting himself there? He said, what, if you believe in me, you'll live even though you die. You will die, but you will live. And if you live and believe in me, you'll never die. Wait a minute, you just said you will. So what's he saying? Saying that what? That even though we will physically die, we will live spiritually forever, eternal life. And so whoever lives and believes in him, even though the body dies, we will never experience spiritual death, spiritual life forever and ever. You know, I've told you before, it's like, well, what an amazing contrast it is that one of the ministries of being a pastor is performing funerals, coming alongside a family to minister to them and officiate a service. I got to tell you, folks, what a difference there is. What a difference there is, a funeral for a believer in Jesus Christ, and then being called to do a funeral for someone who did not have that hope of eternal life in Christ. That at the funeral of a believer, our hearts grieve. We grieve at the loss, but we know that it is only a temporary parting, don't we? And it's even a spirit of celebration. You know, when the time came when my mother passed away, about 6 years ago now, and the last couple of years or so of her mortal life had been very, very difficult, painful for her, physically, emotionally. But she had that faith and trust and confidence in Christ as her Savior. And when the time came when God called her to himself, her funeral was a celebration. Was there grief? Of course there was. But it was a celebration. Celebration of her life, mortal life, but no, really a celebration of her spiritual, eternal life, which was hers by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing gift, eternal life. I need another volunteer. Isabel, how did I know that was going to be you? Come on up. Here we go. Anybody want to guess what's in here? What do you know? Another giant candy bar. You're going to have to give that one away, right? So, and then, what does that say, Isabel?
Resurrected body.
Resurrected body. Very good. Thank you very much. You can sit down. A resurrected body. Anybody here looking forward to that? How many of you would rather stay in these bodies forever and ever and ever? Probably wouldn't work out too well, would it? I wonder, well, why do we have to die? You know, we believe in Jesus. Why do we have to die? Because we need to be released from these mortal bodies, which are subject to death and decay, sickness and weakness and pain. We're released from these, but then God isn't done, though, with the body, is he? He has saved not only our souls, our spirits, he saved the body, too. That's why he rose from the grave in glory, so that we, too, might rise from the grave in glory. God has made you and me as human beings to be the uniting of a spirit existence, and a physical bodily existence. Both of those combined, that's what makes us human, a spirit and a body. We're human now. We will be human forever and ever and ever, which means spirit, eternal life, but it also means a physical, glorified body forever and ever. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in," he's talking about these mortal bodies, "if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed," if it dies, "we have a building from God." Would you rather live in a tent or a building? I know some of you really love camping, and you'd rather live in a tent. But no, wouldn't you much rather live in a beautiful building than in an old tent? It says, "So if that old tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, and it's not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan." Anybody identify with that? "We groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. How do you know this is going to happen? Well, God gave you His Holy Spirit to guarantee that He's going to finish what He started, including that resurrected body. We have another gift. You want to come back up? Yeah, come on back up. Let's see what we have this time. A new toy? I'm shocked. There's a giant chocolate bar in there. Okay. And there's something else. Let's see. What does that say? Can you read that?
Eternal reward.
Eternal reward. Excellent. Very good. Thank you. You can go sit down. You can keep that. Eternal reward. Jesus told us that what we value, what we do with our life, matters for eternity, doesn't it? Our priorities and what we're working toward, that it matters. And that if we are working for the things of this life, all of these things are just going to go away. But to rather build and save for things that are going to last forever and ever. In Matthew 9, Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." It matters what we do for Christ, and that what we do for Him will last forever and ever, that we will be rewarded for everything that is done for Him and in Him and through Him. I have no idea exactly what that reward is going to be like, but I know it's magnificent beyond our understanding now. Eternal reward. How about an adult? We have any adults who'd like to come up here? Let's see. Scott Strangewood? Okay. How about Vicky right here? I saw the hand. Come on up. Folks, a giant chocolate bar. And what else? What does that say?
Hope.
Hope. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hope. As we well know, being a believer in Jesus Christ doesn't exempt us from difficulty, from trial, from tribulation, from pain. But there's hope, isn't there? There's hope in the midst of it all. There's hope, first of all, that God is working in it and through it for good. And then there's hope that one day we will be finally and fully delivered from it. Paul says in Romans 8, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with what? The glory that will be revealed in us." And he says, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." Hope, biblically, means something that is absolute, sure, and guaranteed. It just hasn't happened yet. It hasn't been given yet. It hasn't been received yet. But we will receive it, and it's sure and certain, and that is hope. God is going to finish everything that He has started in you, and that is our hope. And we have one more gift. We needed another adult here. Bob, I saw Bob Mills. I saw that hand go up there. Why don't you come on up here, Bob? Take your time, Bob. No pressure. No one's waiting for you or anything. Come on up. I know you can hardly wait. Have a seat right there, Bob. This is our eighth and final. Hello. By the way, this does not exhaust all of God's gifts. So these are just a few of them. So I hope that you will enjoy that. And I hope that this has been meaningful to you. All right, you can have it. That's not what's in there. He did that. No. It's a lump of coal. Bob, would you read that for us? Here. Is that good?
Sovereign wisdom. A little closer. All right. A little closer. And good purpose.
Sovereign wisdom and good purpose. So Bob got a lump of coal here. He got a lump of coal in his stocking. But you know what else he received? This right here. Sovereign wisdom and good purpose. And you put those keys in there, Bob. You're not fooling anyone. I know that. So thank you. You can go sit down now. Should we give him a chocolate bar? Anyway. All right, we'll wait for that. Not now. You're gonna have to wait for your chocolate bar. Meantime, know that you have sovereign wisdom and good purpose at work in your life. You may think, oh, that was fun. Was that just to be cute or funny? No, it was to illustrate a point. You know, all of those other things that we opened, we received them, and we eagerly received them with joy. But sometimes God gives us things that we don't receive quite so eagerly, do we? That maybe at the time seems like a lump of coal to us. Maybe it's a difficult circumstance, a painful relationship. It's something, and we think, God, I don't want this. What are you doing? What are you giving? Why are you letting me go through this? Why do I have to experience this dark night of the soul? It's because God is all wise, isn't he? He's in control of all things. He's sovereign over all things, and he knows what is good and right and best, and even the things that don't look good to us at the time, he knows. And that he has a good purpose in all that he allows to come into our lives. And I know that those things are easier said than lived through, but it's the truth. Scripture says in Romans 8, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, we do wish you a very Merry Christmas. And I pray that as you reflect upon this holiday, its significance, its meaning, that you will remember that indescribable gift that we have in Jesus Christ that's received by faith, acknowledging to God that you and I, that we're moral rebels who want to do our own thing, and we've made a mess of things, haven't we? We've made a mess of our lives. We've made a mess of the world. And that's precisely why God sent a Savior, to deliver us from our own mess, to deliver us from ourselves, to admit that we can't handle it, we can't do things right, so that He handled things for us. He lived the perfect and holy, righteous life for us. And then He paid the penalty for our moral rebellion. The penalty's death, and He gave His life for us. He died for us. He suffered for us. He became sin for us. He was buried, He rose again, so that one day too, through faith in Him, not only are we forgiven, but we will be raised in glory too. All this is God's indescribable gift. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for this indescribable gift we have in Jesus Christ. We can try, Lord, but we will never exhaust the glorious riches that are the Lord Jesus Christ. God, we thank You that through faith in Him, we have an eternal inheritance in heaven that is reserved for us, that is kept by His mighty power, that You shield us by Your mighty power, that You powerfully and sovereignly hold on to us, Lord, who are Your own, and You will complete the good work You have begun in us. God, I pray if there is someone here today who maybe is hearing or understanding this gospel, this good news for the first time, that call of God is going out now. Respond, we pray, in faith and trust. Say, yes, I believe. And Lord, we who believe, we thank You. We give You praise today and all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.